Well, welcome. As we prepare to go before the Lord in prayer as part of our worship, we have a pastoral prayer each and every Sunday most of the time. We miss it occasionally. I was thinking about this. It's my turn this week, and I was thinking about it and thinking about, you know, each day there are certain specific things that come before me, and I pray for this body of Christ, and I spend some time in the morning at some time praying for different things that are going on within the church, within your lives. Some very immense things that happen in our life, some things that are very, very important in our lives. And everything is, but there's many challenges, many difficulties, many things that God is working through in our lives and working in our lives. And I spent some time doing that, and I think about that quite a bit, just the dynamic of all of that. And God always prompts in my heart what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. You know, whether you're a soldier, whether you're battling through the things of life, whether you're battling your flesh, you're battling through work, the difficulties of relationships, battling for your children, for your grandchildren, or you're battling for just your own thoughts and your own thinking and the old things that just give your mind to things God wants you to be, or battling, whatever that is, Paul writes and says, whether you're a soldier, whether you're a farmer, whether you're waiting on the Lord to do some things into your life, you're waiting patiently for God to maybe minister to somebody, or to you, and all of that. It's very relational, isn't it? Our prayer time, our time with the Lord. We're battling, we're fighting, we're soldiers for the Lord. We got all the different kind of things, and we're waiting on the Lord so many different ways. Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, who's risen from the dead. You know, in the midst of whatever you're going on, the living God, Jesus Christ, is with you. In our salvation, he is with us, guiding, leading us. We're one spirit with Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God the Father loving us, God himself is with us in everything that we have going on. And we will fight and we will wait. But it's very relational, isn't it? Christ changed everything. He intercedes on our behalf. We can go to the throne of grace and mercy and find the grace and mercy that we need in the time that we're in. God is faithful and relevant and active, even though it seems like we wait a long time or we just keep fighting. But it's so relational. And so, you know, in our time today, as we go before the Lord, as Living Word Fellowship, as this family of God, this church family, we are the body of Christ here. We are connected in so many ways, fighting for so many of the same things and battling for so many of the things to be for our kids, for our grandkids, for our in-laws, for our family members, waiting patiently on the Lord to work. I know what's on your heart or all those things, and they're immensely important. They are to each one of us. We don't know them all, but let's go collectively before the Lord. What's on your heart? You raise to the Lord as I pray and lead us in that. I'm going to read a passage out of Psalm 16, verse 5 through 11, and then let's go before the Lord as his church. David writes, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever." Heavenly Father, we come before you today as yours, as your children, as the family of God, the body of Christ, with the directions from you, with the purposes from you, with desires from you, with your will in our life. We know the challenge it is just to grow in our faith, to battle the things that are in our heart and mind, to be faithful to what you call us to be faithful to. We know all of those, and we know that you know them. You know how we wait for you to minister to us in whatever way that might be. We thank you, Lord, that you continually be faithful in leading us in that way. We thank you, Lord, for the things that are on our heart, that are there, each and every one of us, Lord, for those things that we lift up to you today, that we're concerned for, that we struggle with. We ask that you would minister to each one of us in our need. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy upon our lives. In Christ's name, amen. There we go. I had it the wrong way. There we go. You know, it was such an inspired time with the Lord that the Holy Spirit was overwhelming the microphone. Did you guys get that? But it is truly, it's truly a time with God and a time of intimacy with Him. And God is at work in our lives ministering with each other. Each one of us care for the things that are in your life. God cares. And we want to express that to each other. Battle for that for each other and help each other wait for the Lord and the things that He has for us. So I'd ask you to go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, specifically verses 1 through 13. We're going to be looking at today. We're moving on from chapter 5. Get your outlines ready. And these verses for this week and next week, we'll be looking at the nature of being an ambassadors for Christ. God has been encouraging us to even think about those kind of things and to be prompting our mind to be ready on this. But we're going to look at the kind of the nature or character of being an ambassador for Christ. Paul has just told us, he's just taught us in verses chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, that since we are in Christ, because we are saved, we are new creatures. The old way of life has passed away. It's went away, you know, that kind of thing. We're to lay that off, the old way the humanity lives apart from being saved. That's been put away. The new way has come and continues to come, continues to work in our life. He taught us we've been reconciled back to God. We're back into a relationship with God, restored relationship, forgiven, worked within, all of that kind of thing. And God has placed in us, he said, the word of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's placed in us the word of reconciliation. That's when you got a restored relationship with God. He's placed in us the truth of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, the reality of it dwells right in your life and who you are in Christ and how you relate to God and that you have a restored relationship. It's right in you. The message, the truth, the answer to it all is right in your life. All what it takes to live for the Lord, what it is to live for, God is working through our relationship with Him. He's working in our relationship with Him and in your life, my life. He's making an appeal to those around you, pleading with those around you, urging those around you, begging those around you, be reconciled to God. That's what he told us. And then he said this in verse 20. So then, therefore, Paul says, you are ambassadors for Christ. That's what you are in your salvation. Now in chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, here's the interesting thing. He says, let me teach you the dynamic of that. Let me share with you some personal things in my own life so you grab the nature of what it is like to be an ambassador for Christ. These things are going to be helpful. Five perspectives. We're only going to get through 2.5 today or whatever. But he gives us these five perspectives on that life. This is good. Being an ambassador for Christ is not easy, is it? That's a good place for an amen. It's not easy to live for the Lord, to represent Christ in this world. First of all, you and me, we're still learning how to represent the Lord. I ain't got all that down yet. I won't get all that down yet, but I'm working on that. God's working on me. I get it right, and I get it wrong, and I got to repent, and I got to ask the Lord, forgive me. That didn't represent you. Oh, my goodness. God helped me in my life, and he's working in that. That's not easy. Also, we're to represent Christ to each other. Get this. Now you got to encourage each other to represent Christ. It's the Word of God. That's the reconciled relationship you've been given. All your brothers and sisters, family, hey, all you siblings that are here, you guys got to encourage each other to do what Mom and Dad says, don't you? Come on, Sarah, big smile. Yeah, yeah. Gracie, she's right. Right? You know, hey, right, we got to encourage each other. That's not easy, right? It's the same thing in Christianity. We're to represent Christ to each other. We're to encourage each other to live in such a way that represents the Lord. We're to teach each other the truth on how that's to be lived out. We're to help, console, guide, love, care, admonish, correct, encourage, and even sometimes carry each other in that direction. You know, sometimes you got to say, hey, that doesn't represent Jesus Christ. That attitude, that action, that thing you're doing, you can't do that. What happens? Offense. Who are you to tell me? Come on. Right? That's not easy. Hey, the Lord, well, you know what? I don't really care right now. You know, I got so many things on my plate, got so many things going on. I got to need to do this just to make ends meet or for it to happen. And I can't worry about what I'm representing the Lord right here. I'm drowning. Come on, real life is going on in this world. We're not all up here in some echelon where none of these battles are going on. This is what we have to do. We have to encourage each other, represent Christ in our life. And we got to work through some things, some serious things. We have to. Because this is what we've been called to do. We get offended or we get fall short of loving rightly in what we say or do, or we get rebellious or we get overwhelmed or uncaring how we live, and then forgiveness needs to be worked through and repentance needs to take place. We got to change. That happens. Repentance needs to happen. That's the reality of an ambassador for Christ. You're a representative of Christ, and we're to be reconciled. All of us are. We're representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ and reconciliation that comes through putting faith in him and being reconciled back to God. We can't walk around unreconciled. That doesn't represent what Christ did in any of our lives. It's not easy. We got to do that. We got to work through that. None of us are going to arrive. We're not all going to be perfect. There's a challenge of representing Christ in this world also. Add that one to it. God at work in you and through you. And the world's response to it is going to be totally different, isn't it? It's going to be all over the map. To some, you will be respected. You'll be well thought of. You might get honored. To others, to some family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, people in your life, you will be dishonored, ignored, thought you're strange. You'll be hated, even evil against you, persecuted. That's the other side of it. That's not easy. To represent Christ in this world to the lost and represent him to each other. Paradoxes, they're all over the place. You represent Christ as his ambassador, you get honor over here, dishonor over there. You get love over here, you get hate over there. You get respect here, you get disrespect. You get cared for, you get persecuted. That's just the deal. You're trying to live all the side where you get honored and loved and respected and cared for. What you do is you won't represent Christ, you represent you and that you're a wonderful person and you leave alone the gospel message, the truth that people are separated. The world is separated from God. And in our life, like last week we talked about, God is at work in us and through us for us to help in a kind and gentle way and a caring way, for us to communicate to the world. You are not in relationship with God whatsoever. Now, I say it a little harsher here, but God wants to bring you to himself through Jesus Christ. And as a pastor, I deal with this in a different way all the time. I get, oh, you're a pastor. And then I get, oh, you're one of those. That's my life. That's the way it's going to be. It's different. A lot of paradoxes in the nature of being an ambassador for Christ. It's not easy. Also, to be an ambassador for Christ is very relational. That's why I kind of put that into prayer today. It's very relational. And listen to this. Out of our relationship with God, we are held accountable to help each other in our representing of the Lord in our relationship with each other. That sounds just totally relational, doesn't it? In our relationship with God, we are held accountable with God and through God and working in our life of us holding each other accountable and representing the Lord Jesus Christ in our life through our relationships. That sounds, and not only that, in the world, out of our relationship with God, God was holding us accountable to help the lost see that they have no relationship with God, and the only way is to do through the faith in Jesus Christ, and they're looking at our relationships with them to see if that's actually true. It's all relational, and that's what Paul is getting to here, what he's teaching us. You will be an aroma of life to life, 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 16, to some. You will be an aroma of death to death to others, and that will bring a lot of different responses. So Paul, what he lays out for us is these five perspectives in that, in the nature of being ambassadors for Christ. Five of them. You're privileged. We're to be passionately pleading. That's what God is doing in our lives and through our lives. We're to have perseverance. You're going to need much endurance in there. There's a whole lot of paradoxes. This is in our text. We'll look at them, and you have to have proven love. You have to prove your love. You have to be a lover of souls, of each other. That's just going to be one of the perspectives. And this is what Paul teaches. So now listen to our text. Look at what we're looking at. Chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. And like I said, we're going to look this week, next week, so we'll just see how far we get today. And then we'll pick up where we're at next week. And pick up this thing. But we have privilege, passionate pleading, perseverance, paradoxes, proven love. You see all my P's in there. I had fun with that. But listen to chapter 6 through 1 through 13. And here is the nature that Paul lays out for us out of his own life of being an ambassador for Christ. These perspectives. Listen to what he says. And working together with him, we urge you also not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 3, giving no cause for an offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardship, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide to you. You are not restrained by us. You are restrained by your own affections. Now in the like exchange, I speak to you as children, open wide to us also. What an incredible passage. You heard all the paradoxes. You heard all the perseverance. You heard the topics that we're going to be talking about. In much endurance and affliction and hearting and all these kind of things. And you're going to have to persevere in purity and the word of God and the word of truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. They're all in there. And you heard the end of it and said, hey, my mouth has spoken freely. We want to speak freely to all people. The truth of God, the reality of God, the love of God, the hope of God. And we want to open our heart wide to all mankind to be kind, gentle, and caring in their life, proving love. And when we get right down to it, to plead with him, open your heart wide to the Lord. I mean, that's what he's talking about here. You see what I'm talking about here, what I'm bringing out of the text and what God is speaking to us. This is the nature of what God's called you to do, what he said you are. You're an ambassador of Christ. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, that's what you are if you're saved. That's who you are. And here's the nature of that. It's just incredible to look at, to be encouraged. To be so encouraged in God's word today, this is so encouraging. This isn't, in a sense, you know, preaching is really interesting. Preaching is teaching God's truth, but it's beyond teaching God's truth. Here's what the word of God says, here's what it means, but it's exhortation. Proclaiming God's word, to exhort God's word, that's what it is. You teach what God has to say, this is what God's saying, then we got to exhort it. You know why we need exhorted? Because we all need exhorted. We all need goosed, right? We do, right? Don't we? How many of you don't need goosed, right? Right? That's what it is, and that's what the Word of God does. And the truth matters, and the truth helps. And the truth is what we want to set in our heart and what we want to understand, but we all need to be goosed in the truth. And that's what Paul is doing here in this sense. He's giving us the nature of being an ambassador to Christ with an exhortation in the perspective of it. Number one, look at it, number one, the first one, see, and we'll see how far we get. So number one, of the nature of representing Christ, of being his ambassador, the number one is privileged. Look at verse one. And working together with him. You should just highlight that in your Bible. I can't get over that. I can't get beyond that. I can't leave this alone in my own life. I am working together with God. I'm working together with all of them. I'm working together with God the Father. I'm working together with the Almighty God. I'm working with the Son. My spirit is connected with the Spirit of Christ. I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, and God the Father is overseeing our life, bringing about, I'm working with the Almighty God. I am today, if I choose to be. That's what I mean. I'm so privileged. He is working in you and through you, and you are working with Him. Privileged. I want you to think about that for a moment. Just let that well over your head for a moment. That's what your day's about. It's God, exactly. Save the lost, mature the saints. And you're working together with God to do it. That's what He's doing. That's the church age. That's what we're here doing. That's what God is at work doing in the world. And we're working together with Him. Think about this for a moment. Take the Awana Club. Man, I love the Awana Club. Don't you guys love the Awana? I love all the parents that are involved and all the adults that are involved and all those little faces running around here. I love the Awana Club. I think it's the greatest thing ever on the planet. I really do. I never went to it when I was a kid. I never understood it when I was an adult. You know, I saw it when then we got involved, and I just love it. I think it's great. You know why? The privilege of working with all these parents. There's like 16 or 17 adults that do Awana Club here on Wednesday. And they're hilarious. Did you know that? But to work together with them, and you know what there is? They're working together for what? For what God is wanting to do in all them little people running around here. Can there be any greater thing? And so what a privilege to work with them. And then I think about the VBS that goes on during the summer. Now, I'm not saying it's not privileged to do other things, but this VBS that goes on. I was thinking about that just as we were doing our time today in the worship of church and thinking about, and I thought I might even share a little bit on that. But all of those, even the kids working together, privileged to work together. So the children that are here get encouraged to follow the Lord, get the truth of God, and God might speak to someone's heart, to some little one, and they give their life to Christ. And then we have a missions ministry where we're sending water or we get goat. I'm not kissing a goat this year. Now they'll bring an alligator or something, but you know. I had to kiss a goat if we raised a certain amount of money. I don't want to get into that, but. But what a privilege. But let's just go a little deeper to grasp with privilege. What if the next president of the United States come walking in here? And he got up front and he said, you know, all of you guys that are involved in education, all you moms educating your kids, all you moms involved in homeschooling, all you people that are working in the education system anyway, you know what? Next president of the United States comes right in here and says, I would like to work with you intimately and personally. I'd like to solve the education issue in America. And I want to work with you personally. I want to hear from you. I want to work through you. I want to gather information from you. I want to do that, and I want to do it intimately and personally, and I want to solve that. What if he came in and said to the farmers, hey, I want to help fix the agriculture things going on in this community in Tulare County, and I want to intimately work with you. Help me solve the water problem here. Tell me what we need. Tell me what we need to do. Let's be privileged. Can you imagine the next president of the United States coming in and say, Andy, can we work together to fix the things that are going on with the dairy? Do you think privilege would well up in your heart? The president, he asked Andy Reinsberger, we're going to solve the problems of the world. No, you're not, but the privilege, right? The privilege, you'd be overwhelmed by it. You absolutely would. And whatever your thing is that somebody in that esteemed, you'd sense the privilege. Here Paul says, the highest point of perspective of all, number one, you're ambassadors representing Christ, and God Almighty personally and intimately and relationally is working together with you. Yes, you. What a privilege. Grasp the dignity of this, what he's talking about. This is more privileged than working with the President of the United States, by far. We kind of let that slack sometimes in our life. We let that, that kind of thing. Let the honor of this grab you. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are God's fellow workers. That's just real simple. Working with him to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the here and now today. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, the one who joins himself to the Lord, that's get saved, is one spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're one spirit with Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, and your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. I think that's working with God. I am one spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, dwells in my life. And God the Father is guiding me and leading me through his word, working together with me to change my life, to grow my relationship with him, and to infect the world with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get overwhelmed with the privilege. Because he didn't have to choose you. He can make the rock cry out. He brought you in. Isn't this encouraging? What an encouraging thing to think about what God's doing. Now, we all mess this up, okay? Nobody get their head down, oh man, I was just like focused on getting my grass cut today. Don't do that. There ain't anybody in the room close to grabbing hold of the privilege of that. But that's why Paul's writing it. Look at the Corinthian church. What a mess. But he's writing it to them, encouraging them. Hey, we're privileged. We're working together with God. Well, that changes everything. That helps me each and every day. That's to lift me up out of the things. I believe the struggle and our indifference in our life begins with a failure to understand the level of privilege that you have when God called you to himself. The level of privilege. I think that's where we fail and we struggle and we're indifferent to anything. You and me work together with God, with Almighty God, to represent Jesus Christ as ambassadors. I was called, you were called, gifted, empowered, and placed strategically to serve him with the promise of eternal reward and the promise that, hey, I'm going to be with you always. And listen to this in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Listen to this. It says this. There are a variety of gifts that God gives us. There's all kinds of them. You got them, I got them, we got them, all kinds. He says, but there's the same Spirit. He says this. There's a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There's a variety of effects of things happening through it all, but the same God who works all things in all of us. Did you hear what he said? There's a variety of gifts, there's a variety of ministries, and there are varieties of effects of what God's doing in the world, and he has gifted us and given them to us and empowered us, and we're following him and guiding him, and then he's working all these things in all of us to bring about what God wants to bring about. That's absolutely incredible. Ephesians 1:19, Paul prays that you would understand, I would understand, the surpassing greatness of God's power toward who believe. This is what he says. The power is in accordance with the working of his strength and of his might. Hey, what's going on in my life is according to God's might and God's strength and God's power. That's the guy I'm working with. Nothing against my wife, but he's a little more powerful than her. I'm just putting it into perspective for us on what he's saying here. Ephesians 1:20. Or 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all comprehension according to the power that works within us. That's who you're working with to represent Christ. This is just overwhelming if you just think about what Paul is talking about here. He's teaching us. Turn your Bibles to Mark 4. Let's just look at this a little bit. Like I said, you know, I can't get over this. This is just something that is just stuck in my heart and my mind, and just, you know, and it doesn't matter if you do what I do or you do what you do. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or you're working in a job somewhere or you're a mom or dad. That's all irrelevant. What matters is that you are privileged that you're working with the Lord. Look at Mark 4 with me. Let me give you just this little parable that Jesus gave, and we'll grab hold of the truth that is applied to what we're talking about here. This little parable about the kingdom of God is like, I love the way Christ puts some things sometimes, but look at this with me. Chapter 4, Mark 4, verse 26 through 29. And here Jesus says, he's saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. That's the kingdom of God. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up in the day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and how, he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And he says this is what the kingdom of God is like. Now you understand the parable, don't you? You represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. You're an ambassador to Christ, the lost world you cast the seed upon. First of all, look at it just in that way. As salvation, you cast the seed upon the world. It sprouts, it grows, a blade, then a head, then a mature grain. Sometimes it takes a long time for God to work those things in their life. He brings something things in their life, and they start to see, and then some other thing grows, and all of a sudden, mature, the Lord is Savior. He's Lord of all. Oh my gosh, I surrender my life to him. God does that. It's salvation. Now, you're not like the guy in the text, right? How? I don't know. You know how, don't you? You know how. You know you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, his ambassador, sharing the only hope for the answer, and you know who you are working with, and the one working with you by his power in you and through you is saving people. You know, don't you? Don't you know? You don't say, oh, I don't know how God did that. I don't. Yeah, you do. You know, he did it right through you. He did it in you and through you. Your mouth went like this and shared the power of the gospel to somebody, and God worked through that and saved somebody. It doesn't trickle into people's heads. He's working through you and me. We know. Now, take this about our relationships with each other. Take about this about sanctification. Talk to this about our relationships with each other. Take this parable of the kingdom of God. Now the parable apply to you and our growth. You are working together with God. You're studying his truth. You're applying his word. You're challenged. You're fighting. You're waiting. There's blade. There's head. There's mature grain, harvest, fruit, changed life. How? How, you guys? You're not like the guy in the text. You know how. How? You're working with the Almighty God, and as you apply yourself to God's word, as you say, Lord, I want to know. I want to understand. I want to apply this. I know my flesh doesn't like this. Oh, man. All of that stuff that goes on as we're following the Lord. But you know how. You follow the Lord. You work with the Lord, and what does God do? He brings forth blade, head, and mature grain, and you change, and life happens, and you grow and minister to you. That happens in your family, doesn't it? Isn't that your prayer when you share Christ in your family? Isn't that what you're asking God to do? Use mom and dad in our relationship with God and our reconciled relationship with God. And we're not perfect, and we know we're not perfect, but God, use that by the power of you. Work in our lives, bring change in our lives, display the gospel to our children. Lord, help them see. Pray that they would use that. And when they do, you know the power of God working in through your life. God worked. Amen? Well, sure, what a privilege to be an ambassador of Christ. Because that's who he's doing it through, you and me. And all in our ineptness and all of our struggle and all of our stumbles, that's what he's doing. We don't focus on how bad we're going or what we're missing. What we focus on is you, Lord. You just keep going forward. What a privilege. That's the high point in our perspectives of being an ambassador. It's a privilege. The second one perspective, look at our text back at 2 Corinthians, and we'll kind of just touch this lightly. I didn't get as far as I thought I'd go, but I'm good. Well, I'm not good, but I'm okay with that. Back to 2 Corinthians 6. Second perspective, passionate pleading. Look at verse 1 and 2. This is the second perspective of the nature of being an ambassador for Christ. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, the now is the day of salvation. Guess what, church? Today, behold, is the time to passionately be pleading with others that Christ is Lord and Savior. That's part of the nature of being an ambassador. In love, in care, you gotta speak it. It's passionate pleading. You have to urge. You have to say you need to be reconciled. It's part of it. You got to say the gospel. And the gospel is passionately pleading with somebody that you need to surrender your life to Christ. You need to see the Lord Jesus. Whatever that is, whatever dynamic is that, it's got to be passionate, and it's got to be words. I urge you. I beg you. That word in verse 1 there, urge, is the same word up in verse 20. Look at verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Same word for beg, plead, urge. God wants to make an appeal for you, and beg and plead and urge. And you got to use words to do that. If you're thinking about salvation, that's the first one we're talking about. The salvation is the first issue. To people be reconciled back to God. Your life, your message is to be a passionate plea to those that are lost, to be reconciled back to God. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, Titus 2. And God is making an appeal through you to beg others that, hey, you know, we need to be reconciled back to God. However that is, the gospel is the story of Christ and why he came, and that we're sinners. We need to be saved by grace, and that we're all sinners and we all fall short, and that we need to be saved. We need to be reconciled. God came so you could be brought back into a relationship with God. And apart from that, you have absolutely zero relationship with God. I know that's hard. I know that's harsh. I got a lot of people talk to me about that. Let me straighten something out. I said last week that he does not hear their prayers. He hears the prayers of all people. he does not answer them until they call out for salvation. But he hears them all. And we're to be passionately pleading for people to come to the Lord. Somebody did for you. That's what the text says. Hey, Jesus says, God says, hey, I listened to you on that day. I helped you on that day. Help me on that day. Remember when we studied this part? And that's just the theme that, or the nature of being an ambassador for Christ. You're representing something. That's what Paul is doing in quoting Isaiah 49:8. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive it with no purpose, no results. That's what he's saying in salvation. Today's the acceptable time. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. No results, no purpose. Help me, work with me, God is saying, passionately pleading salvation is in Christ. But you know, in the context, the central issue here, and that's important, ambassadors plead for others to be passionately pleading with others to be reconciled with Christ. But in context, Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church, writing to a church, body of Christ, and then urging them, and what he says here, here's really the context of the depth of this. He's telling that each one of us have to passionate plea with each other. We need to represent Christ. That's good for the body of Christ to hear. That's good for us to hear and understand that in the text right here, part of the nature of being ambassadors for Christ is that we have to passionately plead with each other, let's be ambassadors for Christ. Because we got a lot of things to work through. And we need help in all those kind of things. Not that we're loving, caring, but we need to be passionately pleading. Now, let me show you why that's a context and why he's saying that. So you understand here that I'm just not bringing something here that I wanted to say. Sanctification is really the most likely central of what he's talking about. The continuing work of God in our life to change how we live, to change what we think, to change what we live for. Sanctification. Paul's concern for the church was that they're being deceived on what it's all about. 2 Corinthians 11:3, I told you that's the central to this whole letter. I'm afraid as the serpent deceived Eve, your minds would be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. As Christians, we can be led astray from that our lives are simply about living purely before the Lord, living purely in this life and being devoted to Christ. And you're going to notice that, and the major focus of that is so you represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this world as his ambassadors. Pleading with others to be Christian, to come, to be reconciled, and pleading with each other passionately that we would allow God to work in our life so we would represent Christ. Isn't that the church? Isn't that the battle, isn't it? Right? I'm identifying the battle in our life that we're battling to represent. That's the battle. That's the soldier battling to represent the Lord in our own life. In context, the nature of being an ambassador for Christ is one of passionate pleading to each other lovingly to live as ambassadors. God is at work in us. Don't be led astray by some message that tells you it's about something else. That's the false teaching. And aren't we typically in our flesh led this way by the message that says it's not about that? It's not about you dealing with your heart and representing the Lord and having and holding each other accountable to represent the Lord and sharing the message. It's about something else, and it leads us that way. That's what I got to battle through. And so Paul's writing practicality right to this. We've got to help each other in this, being ambassadors to each other. Let me explain that. Look at verse 1 again. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He's talking to the church. The word receive in the grammar is an aorist infinitive. What the heck is that, Pastor Ken? Aorist infinitive. But let me see. And the word is doxomai. It is not the normal word lambano. Lambano means to receive. Hey, I got $20. You want to receive that? I'm going to give that to you, right? I'm going to give him $20. To receive it, he's got to take it, right? He's not going to take the $20, okay. There's no $20. There's nothing to take. I needed to bring $20. You would have grabbed it quick. Right? That's lambano. And that's in the active, right? And that kind of thing. But this is in the aorist imperative or an infinitive and a different word for it. And so God is saying something different. God knows the Greek language. He uses the words because they mean something, and he wants us to understand what they mean. And so he uses the specific words. It means that something you have been by grace already been given. It wasn't something that you received or that you had to take hold of. It was given by God in his grace with purpose. That's the infinitive aorist. It's not that God came and said, would you receive my grace in this? He said, in your salvation, I made you an ambassador for Christ. I infused you with the power. I infused you with the gift. I've given you the ability. I graced you with it. It's all over you. It's smothering you. Will you use what I gave you? That's what he's saying. Don't waste the grace of God. I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you. Christian believer, empowered by God, dwelt by the Holy Spirit, saved, sanctified, same spirit with God, God the Father working in his life, can understand the truth of God, can understand his word, can know God himself and walk with him, has to be begged not to receive the grace of God in vain. Wow, God's speaking to me. By us begging each other. That's what God said right here as ambassadors. But we get offended when we beg each other to not let that happen in your life. Don't let that go that way in your life. Don't. I beg of you. Right? But God says ambassadors beg. They cry to each other. See, this is the nature of being an ambassador of Christ. And then I'm on the other end and you're begging me. You're pleading with me, Ken, can you see this? Can you do this? And you're like, yeah, that's offensive. I just want to open my heart up wide back to you because you're opening your heart up wide to me and saying, we represent Jesus here, Ken. See, I can't give the whole message and the whole thing, but that's the depth of this. And aren't we just a bunch of independent spirits? This wall right here. Hey, you can't talk to your wife that way. Who are you? I'm not coming to church anymore. You told me I can't talk to my, you know, that I was saying something and I wasn't being kind and gentle and I was being disrespectful to her. You can't say that kind of stuff. You can't do that. Nobody's going to come to church. You do that kind of stuff. I don't want to come to church. I want to come to worship God and live for him, and I need help. How about you? That's the word of God. It's so exhorting because he knows who we are. He knows our life. He knows our struggle. It says you're an ambassador for Christ. You didn't receive it like picking it up or taking it up. You were given it to by God in your salvation. We are to be passionately pleading with each other. Don't waste the calling, the gift, the power, the incredible privilege that we have. And we're going to fall short and we're going to stumble. And it isn't about us, any of us being perfect. I won't get to it, but I'll close with this. We're going to have to persevere in purity and the word of truth and in knowledge and in love and all these kind of things. We're going to have to endure each other. We're going to have to keep walking with each other because there's nobody in the room that is, you know, it's like jumping the Grand Canyon. I got 6 feet, you got 3, woohoo. You know, and we'd look, oh man, look at me, I'm a 9-footer. Well, it's a mile and a half. And then we get, all I can jump is 4 inches. So what? Jump. Let's go. We have the privilege of representing Christ in this life. And apart from that, I represent depravity. Right? This is so exciting. This is so encouraging. This is, Paul, and the nature of this is just incredible. Let me find where I'm going to end this. So the highest privilege is an ambassador, or the highest perspective is privilege. The second is passionate pleading. And let me just read verse 3 through 7, and we'll close with this. Obviously, it's going to take perseverance, because I want you to connect this in your mind. We'll pick it up next week. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry would not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants to God, in much endurance and affliction and hardship and distress and beatings and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger and purity and knowledge and patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit and genuine love in the word of truth in the power of God by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. That sounds so much to persevere, doesn't it? And because of who we are in Christ, we will persevere. But God calls us to persevere. I'm just so thankful for this day. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you overwhelmed with the privilege, really. We recognize in our own heart, Lord, you know everything, so you know where we've handled the privilege in a manner that isn't really acting like it's a privilege. You know, you're not angry at us for that. Yes, it falls short. Yes, it's sin. But our sin has been paid for by the blood of Christ. It's been forgiven and pushed over to a place that you don't see it anymore. What you recognize is that we're missing in our sin, pulling us away from our relationship with you, and you don't want that in our life. No, you're not happy that we do those, but you're such a generous and kind and gracious God to just first, right off the bat, to forgive us for all that we do, will do, and ever have done. Such an incredible relationship we have with you. And then you come and you say, you know, in our salvation, we get to work with you in your plan of redemption. We get to work with you in why Jesus Christ came. We are thankful for the privilege. And we know that you'll work in our life and you'll bring that to the forefront of our life more and more through our marriages, through our parenting, through our caring for each other. And we would call upon you, Lord, and ask you that you would help us in our passionate plea. That it would be out of love, that it would be out of honor for you, that it would be something that you desire from our life, that we would caringly and lovingly open our mouth wide to others and our heart to them also, and ask you, Lord, that you would open their heart to us. And then for our lives, that would be work to sanctify us, to help us grow. Anytime that we're offended, for us to be forgivers and repenters. But Lord, in that people's heart would open wide to the truth of God, and that we'd come back into a reconciliation relationship with you, and that they would be saved. Salvation. We thank you for it each and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.